Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
This wine in the bottle, which by the way is made of skin also expands. Is that true? So as the wine increases, it expands the skin as well. So if you pick an old wine skin or an old bottle, beg your pardon, which by the way must have reached its elastic limit, if you put new wine that is yet to ferment, what will eventually happen is, as the new wine begins to increase in volume because of its fermentation, it will stretch the already stretched wineskin beyond its limit, and then it will burst. So you end up losing both the wine and the wineskin. Now, I want to allude to this scripture concerning what I want to share with you. That in order for you to receive more, you must create a new neural pathway to receive more. There must be a neural pathway, new neural pathway for you to receive more. You see that? So you can, because you can only receive so much of what your heart has been programmed to receive. You can only receive what your heart has been programmed to receive. You know, yesterday, when Reverend Mrs. was preaching, she said receiving is a verb, is an active word. And that means there is something you got to do. Deuteronomy 2 verse 24, I have given you the land, but go contend with him in battle. You have to contend for it. So there is an active verb. It's something you got to do to take possession of what belongs to yours. And you see, Pastor Wayo says the same thing. He says, what you have received, you have to receive. Is that true? And he told you that there are two different Greek words used for those words. There is welcoming, receiving, as in the case of, you know, accepting something, aligning with something, but there's a place of lambano, laying hold on something. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Oh, I didn't like that response. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Good. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And he made a profound statement. He said, you're not going to have or become or lay hold on what you have not have. In other words, you are laying hold on what you already have. So faith is not trying to make God do something that he's not even probably willing to do. No, faith is laying hold on that which he has made available already. Can you see that? And so, for you to receive more, because what I'm trying to do is, I want to prepare you. So I started programming yourself to receive more. I'm not going to receive more. Glory to God. So, you are only going to be in possession of what you are programmed to receive. And this is the demonic genius of Pharaoh. I'm going to show you that in a moment. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 1 and verse 8. Exodus 1 and verse 8. It says, and God called the firmament. No. Exodus 1 and verse 8. You're showing me Genesis. They don't sound the same. All right. Exodus 1 and verse 8. And now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely. Somebody say wisely.
Wisely.
That word wisely there is cunningly. You see, let us deal wisely with them. Let's corner them. Lest they multiply. And it's come to pass, so that means let's stop their increase. Let's stop their multiplication. Are you with me, church? So this is what Pharaoh is planning to do. This is the demonic genius of Pharaoh. He says, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when they have fallen out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So Pharaoh is saying, let's cook up a plan. A plan to make them not to escape or to get their emancipation, their liberation. Let's put up a plan that will keep them perpetually in a particular state. And look at what he did. He says, in verse 11, now says, therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Verse 13. And Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in bricks, and in all the manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So this is the demonic genius of Pharaoh. Knowing so well that the only way he can keep them perpetually slaves is by ensuring that he ingrains into them and their generations to come, into their DNA, the mentality of slavery. So imagine 400 years of slavery. So the children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, they were born into slavery. They knew no other way than slavery. So right there in their subconscious, there is already a programming in their mind. There is a programming in their subconscious that read S-A-L-V-E-R-Y. They know no other way. And so the demonic genius of Pharaoh was that in making them slaves and instilling into their DNA and their subconsciousness that they are slaves, and this mindset being passed over to their generation after generation, they will be perpetually low. Listen, let me tell you. Pharaoh knows that even if, don't forget the reasons why he brought up this strategy. He says, lest there is a form of emancipation and they join on the wagon and escape. So in order to keep them in that low way, let's put a lot of labor on them. Let us drive it into them. So the idea was to get the slavery mentality into their mind so that they would not think of freedom. They would not think of liberation. They would not think of having theirs. They will remain slave perpetual. And it worked. In fact, it so much worked that even when God sent Moses to take them out, Moses could not succeed. Or let me put it this way, God could not succeed to take them out. Why? Because there is already a programming in their hearts that will not allow or permit the increase, the expansion, the emancipation, the liberation, the freedom that they so much desire. So God couldn't help them out of the slavery. God cannot help you beyond what your mind or the level that your inward programming permits into. You see, God cannot help you beyond what the inward programming of your heart permits into. I want to read something to you from Wikipedia. There's a concept I want to use in driving the point home. They call it set point theory. Set point theory. Set point theory, according to Wikipedia, it says, set point theory as it regards to human body weight states that there is a biological control method in humans that actively regulates weight towards a predetermined set weight for each individual. They now say this may occur through regulation of energy intake via increase or decrease of appetite, or energy expenditure via reduced metabolism or feelings of lethargy. So implicatively, set point here proceeds that there is a latent programming on your inside that regulate how much a person can receive. Whether or not you know it, there is already a latent unseen programming in your subconscious that determines how much you would receive. And that's why sometimes many of you can tell. I'll give you a very simple example. Maybe your uncle sends you a huge amount that you've never handed, like maybe never handed before. And it's still small money, but because you've never handed it before, it's big money. And because you are always having 2K, 3K, 3,000, 2,000 naira in your account. So uncle sends you, maybe let's say for instance, 100,000. All of a sudden your appetite just shoots. And then you will not rest. Your heart, your mind enters some kind of, you know, experience that I will call this entropy, just disarray. That's when you know that you need to change your glasses, you need to buy a new phone pouch, you need to change your pillows. That's when your shoes start looking so old to you, now you want to change it. You can't wait another minute. Boy, you need to look in another way to the next class you're going to attend. All the things you never thought you were going to get before, they start coming up. Then your mind will not rest until your account starts showing 4,000, 3,000. Then you come back to normal again. Now, look at it. Here is another person. The set point in his heart is 100,000. Now, he gets 5K. He will also enter the same state of entropy, of restlessness, until he turns that 5,000 into 100,000. So he's thinking, what will I do with this 5,000 to yield more? What will I... They both experienced the same thing, but they interpreted it differently because of their set point. So it turns out that no matter the physical effort on the outward, no matter the external work, no matter all that you do, how much you pray, listen, if you don't work on the art, the set point, if the programming is wrong, the outcome will be wrong. Welcome, sir. Please, can you, let's make him sit in the front. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? So, the moment the programming is wrong, no matter how much you so desire, the outcome will just keep matching the inner image. So this is what Pharaoh knew. Pharaoh knew that if he could keep them in slavery for so long, their children and children's children would be born in that same slavery. He knew that this thing would work 100%. That even if help comes out for them, like he said in Exodus 1, 8 to 14, we just read, they won't dare it. That's why Moses went through all those things he went through. The people, the Bible says, they were unpersuadable because there was already a programming in their heart. Even when they got any little challenge in the wilderness, they would say, let us go back and eat our cucumber, our garlic, let's go back. You know why? Because there is already a programming in their heart to keep them small. Many of you are unaware. Okay, let me just throw a simple question to you. The summation of every exposure you've had since you were growing up, whether or not you know it, has built in you a certain set point that you cannot go beyond. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you see, you must program yourself to receive. And so this issue of set points in your heart, there must be that. So what do we do then? If you want to increase more, what do? You have to increase the set points if you want to receive more. So the way to receive more is to reprogram your set points. Let me tell you something. You know, yesterday Pastor was sharing how that his pastor, who is a friend to Bishop, used to say, tell him that, you know, when they were in the fellowship, and he said the man will wear one agbada, and then he will say, I can never be broke, I can never be poor. So it is not a function of what he had physically, but it's a programming in his heart. Listen to me. Anything God wants to give you outside, he will first give it to you inside. Because what happens is your heart will now start calibrating, start looking for variables on the outside that will match and enhance the fulfillment of that image that God has placed on the inside. So while people are there trying to be excellent in the outward work, in the physical outside work, the outside game. They are missing the inside game. You have to first change the inner image. So once the set point in your heart is programmed for abundance, the reticular articulating system in you will begin to solve for opportunities and variables and conditions within its environment or within its reach to support the manifestation of that which the heart has captured. Listen, you don't have the clearance to feature in a future you have not pictured. There must be that set point on the inside. There must be a programming in your heart that would accommodate the increase you are expecting. Otherwise, even if the increase comes on the outside, it will be reduced to the image on the inside. So the issue here that Pharaoh was doing was, it was to project and to make them remain small in their heart. Look at the spies. There were 12 that were sent. So two had a different set point. They said, we are well able, we can take down the city. 10 came and says, you know what, we were like grasshopper, and so were we in their eyes. Can you see that? So they were seeing the same thing with their optical nerves. You see, you don't see with your eye, you see through your eyes. But you see with your mind. So you see, Joshua and Caleb had a different set point. That's what we're talking about. There are some figures that when you call now, everything in you just... I'm sorry to say this. Some person say, if 100 million enter your account, we will not see you in church again. Like, Finn Okpari will not see you. And in some cases, God in his mercy, you have to differentiate when a delay is demonic. And when it is God, out of his mercy, preserving you. You start saying, they should let them come and have church in my house. That's when you start saying, can they do home service for you, for church? See, this explains why, pay attention. This set point explains why we've seen instances where somebody who is from a very poor home, out of God's mercy, maybe got relocated to a better country where there's a better reward for people's effort. And opportunities just opened up, and all of a sudden he starts saying there's no God. Culture shock. Someone who used to manage, one sachet of cowbell before, now he's gotten to a place where he has abundance, and he says, where is God? So the moment your set point in your heart is programmed for abundance, the reticular articulating system in you solves for opportunities and variables and conditions within its environment that will enhance the programmed result in your heart and work it out physically. Let me give you an example. Have you heard about the red card theory before? That if I'm going to visit you and I say I'm coming at so-so and so time, if I never told you I was coming with a red car, when I approach your place of abode, once I get to where you are and you see me with a red car and I say, how many red cars have you seen passed by today? You're probably not going to have answers to it. But if I've told you that I was coming with a red car and you were expecting me, your eyes will be on the road. By the time I approach you and I say, how many red cars have you seen? You're likely going to say, Pastor, there were 12. Six were, how many kind of red? Women, they have different kind of red. You say, pepper red. You tell that red again? Huh? Huh? Oploid. Offloid. Opsbloid. Ox blood. So if I say, how many red cars have you seen? You're going to say, well, Pastor, there are 12 red cars anyway. There were 6 ox blood red. There are 2 pepper red. And there are, you're going to be able to give in detail. Why? Because the reticular articulating system on your inside will begin to recognize, every red car because there was already an information in your RAS, your RAS, on the inside. So it turns out that, listen, it turns out that you will only see in the physical what has been programmed in your heart. Anything that is not programmed in your heart, Even if you have it in the physical, you will lose it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Is that true? What I say, is it true? You know, yesterday, Pastor Ayo said something. And he spoke about how that we are to manifest. Is that true? Now, let me tell you. We were never created to actually conceptualize something as it were. We were actually created to manifest. So we will only manifest what has been already inside. That's the point. That's the only thing I came to tell you this morning. Second service, I will share, some other things. Glory to God. And then, I know Reverend Minzis is powerfully prepared to bless you this evening. Glory to God. But tomorrow, there'll be miracles. Glory to God. Amen. But I want to prepare your heart to receive, because let me tell you something. No matter how much is given, you will only receive with the capacity that you have. If you go to, let's say, the sea, if you go with a spoon, your spoon will be filled. If you go with a cup, your cup will be filled. If you go with a bucket, your bucket will be filled. So what you have is not based on what is available. What you have is based on what your capacity can receive. He says God is able. So the ability of God is beyond what you could think or ask or imagine. Let me even explain to you that scripture when it says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think or imagine, according to his power that is at work in you. What is they saying there is that your experience in the supernatural is dependent on your supernatural psychology. That means the alignment of your heart to supernatural possibility will eventually bet the supernatural. That means you determine it. It's not about God being able or the resources being available. No. It's about the programming of your heart. Let me explain this with something that will bless you. I want to use a very simple example to drive the point home. How many of you have heard about solar eclipse? Come on, talk to me. What happens in eclipse is simply when you have the sun, the moon, and the earth on the same line. That's all. So what happened is that the moon is casting shadow on the earth. That's all. But guess what? Those are the three basic things you need to experience eclipse. Guess what? We don't experience eclipse all the day. We don't every day. We don't experience eclipse every day. But we have the three materials, never depleting, always available. So what will make the difference? The alignment. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Notice not according to the power that is in heaven, but the power that is in you. So it turns out that your experience of the miraculous, your experience of the abundance on the outside is dependent on your supernatural psychology. That's why when Paul was standing and defending the gospel, he says, why thought ye a great thing for God to raise the dead? He was questioning their mind. Why was it hard for them, the Pharisees, Agrippa, Festus, standing before them? Why was it hard for them to believe resurrection? It's a thing of the mind. So your mind has a major role to play when it comes to receiving more from God. So you see, you will only manifest what has been programmed in your heart. So rather than focusing on the outward game, why don't you take out time to check the set point in your heart? And then if there's need for increase that you so much desire, then just go there and widen the set point. Widen the set point in your heart. Am I speaking to somebody here today? I'm not hearing your response. Am I speaking to somebody here today? Good. So you cannot put new wine in old wine skin. You have to create, scientists will tell you that you must grow new brain cells. Listen, what I'm telling you, if you want to do something new, something amazing, you must grow new brain cells. You must grow new neural pathway. There must be new. You must see beyond the ordinary. praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. This is so important. This is so important. Let me show you a scripture. Mark 4. I want to draw another allusion from this parable. Mark 4 and verse 26. He says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So what he's saying here is, we can allude to this scripture by saying, most of the outcomes and experiences of your life are going to happen when you are not conscious, when you are asleep. But because you've cast a seed, you just go to sleep. In other words, look up. In other words, the manifestation, what you want on the outside, are simply going to be the reflection, the outcome of what you have allowed the Holy Spirit to program in your heart. If it is not in your heart yet, you can say it, you can pray it, you can work out for it. See, there's something we call the law of inner sabotage that says that no matter how much effort you make on the outside in praying, in making moves, if there is no conviction in your subconscious that you are going to get this thing, chances are you are not going to get it. You are going to self-sabotage. So you must settle it first in your heart. That's what the Reverend Mrs. was sharing yesterday when she was doing a scanty commentary on James 1, 5 to 7. He says, let not this man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Not because God has not given, but because the set point in his heart has limited God. Do you know the Bible spoke about Israel, the limited God? Not limiting God in his doing part, but limiting God in getting what he wants to get through to you. That's why receiving is a verb. It's an action thing. So there is a reprogramming you have to do. The outward harvest you desire are only going to be a reality because you've permitted the Holy Spirit to write a programming of it in your heart. Let me give you a simple example. So, take for instance, God wants a new creature. And he doesn't start by painting that new creature from the outside or changing the eye. What did he do? He gives that new creature a new spirit. Come on. A new spirit will I put within you. Come on. Is that what Ezekiel says? So, God understands that if he can fix the inside, the outward will change. God knows this, that see, the real work there is going to your subconscious, opening the books, the chapters and the pages, and understand where is there a contradiction with what I'm expecting. Because if you are expecting A, and what is on your inside is C, that A will reduce to C. This is one thing I want to keep emphasizing that I want you to get today. So that means, look up, you determine your harvest. That's what I'm saying. You determine your harvest. How far can you take? How much can your mind take? One of the ways you know is you have stayed on a particular level for so long, and anytime there is, and this is proven scientifically, and I want you to pay attention. When suggestions that are above your set point comes to your mind, of a sudden, the system in you recognizes it, sweat will break out. Of a sudden, it will recognize it with anxiety and fear. Because it is going to take you out of your normal place of convenience. When I mean convenience, I'm talking about mental convenience. So now you are going to recognize it with fear, anxiety, and then until, because it's God placed that thing in our brain to keep us, all right, in check. But then it also has its own cons. And one of its cons is its desire to keep you on one point. Some of you, if they say you should write your prayer points now, by the time you look at the prayer point, sometimes you say, Well, I respect the fact that this is the level which they are right now, but guess what? There can be more. And that's why I'm here, because in evening service, I'm going to share with you why I'll be teaching on, you know, contending for influence and affluence. Please don't miss it. Listen, let me tell you something. If all you think about and what you want to receive from God is all about catering to your own needs and your immediate family, you are selfish. That's why. So this thing I'm sharing with you is not just about you. Somebody say, well, what do I want in this life after actually? I just want a car, a house, a good husband, 3 kids. Maybe we have 1 house. Then anytime I want to go to Hawaii for our, you know, anniversary, we'll go to Hawaii, or we'll go to Hong Kong, or we'll go to Maldives. That's all. I don't want too much in life. You are selfish. So this is, listen, why will there be the overflowing? He says, and my cup runs over. Once your cup is full, it's enough. Why the overflow? For others. Listen, that's the reason why I'm teaching you to receive more. It's not so you can consume for yourself. We're talking about being a blessing, not just being blessed, being a blessing. And so you have to increase your capacity for many, so that many can take. You can only give what you have. Come on, talk to me. So you can only give to many to the degree of how much you have. So the more you have, the more you can be a blessing to others. Is that true? Then the onus is on you to increase your capacity to receive more. And you can do a programming. You can program yourself to receive more. It's a programming. Once you program it like this, it's going to keep producing the same results. So you have to now program your heart for the increase you so much desire. Otherwise, all that you desire on the outside, they will keep on matching the smallness in your heart. Some people are so small in their hearts. They are so small. They are too small in their hearts. Some leads are so small that a guy is maltreating you. You are just dating, but he's already beating you. But you are so small in your heart that because of the few changes giving you, you can't summon that courage to walk out of that stupid relationship. It's because you are small. You set point in your heart. Some ladies, because in your mind you have always believed, or because of the Nollywood you've seen, the movies, or the experiences in your, because set point we're talking about, it's an accumulation of experiences. Hold on tight, the guy will get older, and all guys are the same. If he beats you, you can still manage. So, somewhere in your mind, you feel husbands, men are scarce. So, you think scarcity. Let me give you an instance. A very example somebody gave one time. Have you find anyone beside you saying, you are taking too much air now? How can only you be taking too much air? You are taking too much oxygen. Has you seen anybody who ever, you know, accuse another person for taking much too much air? Come on, talk to me. Will you ever find anybody who say, you are taking too much air? This air, only you are. All the oxygen pass. You are taking too much. Have you seen anybody who behave that way? Why? Because subconsciously, we all agree that air is in abundance. So the reason why people jealous other people, or envy other people, or feel somehow about what other people have, is because in their subconscious, they don't believe that there is abundance. Are you following what I'm saying? So this thing, listen, at the end of the day, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Because the reason why some ladies, for example, somewhere in their subconscious, they have believed that the only way they can come out of poverty is to marry a rich guy. So this guy that they are managing, quote unquote, even though he's abusing them, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that, look, if your eye will cause you to enter hell, and he's talking figuratively, he says, cut it off. In other words, no matter how attached you are, as attached as your eye, your hand is to your body, if it is going to get you to hell, going to give you an experience that is incongruent to God's best for you, he says, summon courage to walk out, cut it off. Yes, it might be the one giving you some change. You know, maybe you are from a very average home or something. That will open you to possibility of believing God for more. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was when Hagar was chased out of the house, all right, and there was no water. The Bible says, and God heard the cry of the lad, that God opened the eye of Hagar to see the well beside them. If God didn't create the well, it has always been there. See, nature should tell you that the reason why we have some plants in dry places in the desert, they call them xerophytes, is because God has ingrained in their set points. God has programmed into that plant the capability to have a tap root that can go deep to get water. Some of these plants here, if you plant them in the desert, they will not survive because they have fibrous roots. Nature should tell you that. So even though if you are in a very harsh environment, something you must believe is there must be something on your inside that is wired to withstand, not just withstand, but to thrive amidst the circumstances. See, it's a mindset. You have to train your mind. You have to get your mind to align with this thing that there is always a way. You must have that mindset that there is a way. And God needs and desires more for me. So you have to first reposition your heart. That's what we're saying here. So it wasn't lack of power or miracles that stopped Israelites from entering the promised land. It wasn't. Come on, was it? It wasn't lack of power or miracles that didn't allow Israelites to leave bondage. It wasn't. I mean, they saw power, they saw all of that. The problem was, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, because they were unpersuadable. The unbelief was that in their heart, look at what we call the spies. 10 came back with a bad report, 2 came with a good report, but they saw the same thing. And when Caleb was going to give reports, Caleb said, look, I brought the report as it was in my heart, not what I saw with my eye. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So that means that the heart of the matter that we're talking about is the matter of the heart. The set point. Is there a programming? Listen to me. You would only experience to the degree of how much you've allowed God to program in your heart. That's why you must stay with the word. Because the word of God should first change you before it changes your situation. I did a teaching series before. I called it School of Prayer. Even the prayer we're praying. Listen, if prayer is just changing your situation and it's not changing you, you're not praying well. You're not praying well. Prayer must first change you. Sometimes you just need to change your perspective. Oh. That's why you know that, so there is more. Listen, I went to a parliamentary school. So when I was in MENA, then rest in peace, the wife of the former president, anyway, Miriam Babangida, then she sent for me that I wanted to come and train with some of my, because she has a school then, they call them Elam International School or something. So they were planning for a debate. So I was going there to train with them and then show them and all of that because I was a social prefect in my own school. For the first time, then I was paying 22,000 naira and that was a lot of money for my parents. I remember, I don't know how much those school were paying, but I know they were paying 6 figures then. This was, I'm talking of in 2000s. Now, for the first time in my life, I was there with all this, you know, we're all teenagers and all of that. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing somebody screaming because they saw house fly. They say, what is this? I'm like, house fly, we eat with house fly, we dead house fly, we remove house fly like this. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some persons, they have never... Since they were born in this country, they have not seen mosquito. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what happens is, pay attention. That's why I always tell people, do not let your situation give you a mindset. Because if you stay long in a situation, in a particular situation and circumstance for so long, and you allow it successfully give you a mindset, that mindset will always reduce your experience to that experience it already had on the inside. So the first correction we need to do is the correction of the mind. Glory to God. So we are actually meant to manifest, not necessarily produce. We are meant to manifest. We are programmed not just to conceptualize production, we are simply meant to manifest what we have allowed God's Spirit to program in our hearts. Our outcome, we only match the set point in our heart. Hence, we must adjust the set point in our heart. If you want to receive more, all you have to do is to adjust the set point in your heart. So somebody is saying, how do I do that? I'll just show you that quickly then. We worship and expect the next session. I told you I just came here to prepare your mind, programming you to receive more. Amen? I said amen? Amen. But have you learned something already? Come on, are you learning something? Good. So how do you increase your set points? Just two things. It sounds funny. Might not sound like it. Like I tell you, I've always told you, the way God does things, they are always very simple. Number one, how to increase your set points. Number one, start praising God in faith for the fulfillment of that thing you intend to see on the outward. Now, notice what I wrote here. I says, this way, your heart remote control will reset to your desired outcome. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? So now, start praising God. See, now, I'm praising God. Long before we go that land, I've been praising God for it. Father, we thank you because we have our own property. Father, we thank you because we have our AC fitted facility, world-class facility. Father, we thank you because we have a world-class studio where we project the gospel to the world. Father, we thank you. I don't know what I'm saying. Father, we thank you because nations are open. You see, I'm thanking God. So somewhere, if you go down into my heart, you will see nations. You will see facilities that we don't have physically yet. So what happens is that your heart remote control will reset your desired outcome. So that means your heart, your set point, when you start praising God, start praising God, start giving thanks. Let me tell you a trick. Have you ever wondered why when you wake up from a dream, maybe an ominous dream, of a sudden, you start seeing your palms sweating or you start feeling this fear. It could be so real. You're waking up with so much fear. But it was just a dream. Ecclesiastes 5:3 tells us a dream cometh by what? Multitude of business. It was just a dream. But why did your senses, five physical senses, respond that way? Let me tell you. Because your intellect cannot separate between virtual and real. So if you educate your mind with praising God for a thing you've not had physically, of a sudden, it will reposition and reposture your heart, your set point, to the place where you'll notice that all your being will adjust to start living as though you already have it. And what is faith, by the way? Acting as though you have what you can't see physically. Come on. Is that what we are saying? So you see, so it turns out as you begin to praise God, you'll be amazed how natural things of their own accord will begin to just work together. And then before you know it, you have it in the physical. Then you now say, I've always thought I'll be here. If you can set your heart for a good marriage, you will realize that a time will come, you'll be sitting with your husband on the table with your children, and you'll be so happy, and you say, this is what I've always desired. Because you have built it already in your heart, it will become a reality. It's not just about wishing on the outside. Work on the inside. Any area of your life where you are afraid is because you lack sufficient knowledge. Or you've been wrongly educated. Or you've been feeding on the wrong things. Are you following me, church? Look at Psalm 67, a scripture I will talk better in the evening. Don't miss evening service. Psalms 67 and verse 5. Psalm 67 and verse 5. He says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then verse 6. Then shall the earth yield our increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. Now, in Bible interpretation, there's something we call personification. It's just one of the figures of speech. Amen. I don't know if you remember personification. Good. Now, when he says, let the people praise thee, oh God, let the people praise thee, The psalmist is talking and he says, let the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee. And then the earth shall yield its increase. And even our God shall bless us. This is not just mere personification of saying, the heart will yield its increase. I'll show that to you in the evening. Listen, the heart knows its destiny. In Genesis, when God blessed man, all of creation was listening. They have ears. That's why God could speak to inanimate things. When Jesus was speaking to things, he spoke to wind, he spoke to tree. When God blessed man, the earth knows that it was created in servitude of a righteous man. That's why a scripture I will show you in Leviticus, the Bible says many times you'll find scriptures will say, and then the earth vomited them. Sometimes you hear, and the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up unto me. God is talking. That means, listen to me, nature was created to serve a righteous man. That's why Leviticus 14:28, I'll show you that. It says, look, when the people were doing all those wrong things, the earth vomited them. You know, in some Pentecostals, they have made us believe that the reason why God drove out all those seven nations, the Jebusites, Hittites, you remember them? So we've been taught that the reason why God drove them out for Israelites was just out of sheer favoritism. No, sir. Don't forget, if you read your Bible, God also warned Israelites that if they continue in the bad habits that those people were committing, he would drive them out too. So it tells you that, and scripture tells us that the ground actually cried out unto God. Listen, these things are not jokes. It means that the earth has the spiritual intelligence to desire to be governed by a righteous man. Listen, that's why the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. That's why creation itself, even though that will happen after the reconciliation of things, creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means the earth, they are waiting for the, reconciliation of things when, we will all be resurrected so that they can be delivered into the liberty of the sons of God. The earth is groaning. Nature is groaning because they are under the control of wickedness. So the earth also desire, the earth has the spiritual intelligence to desire to be governed by a righteous man. It also has the spiritual intelligence to eject evil people making evil use of it. Brothers and sisters, money is looking for you. Goodwill is looking for you because you are a righteous man. So you see, it's because the earth can respond to spiritual exercise. So in praising God, the earth will yield its increase. Too much of theology that makes you think too many hearts are against you. There are many things working for you than what is working against you. It's a product of the mind. It's the heart. That's the set point we're talking about. You have to, I'll talk about this in the evening service. You see, listen to me. If you can, oh dear. Just look into the heart. Look for the file. There is a file there that has error 404 right there in your subconscious that you need to delete and remove. You need to edit, unlearn, relearn. You need to grow new brain cells. You need to create new neural pathways in your subconscious that will help you receive more. Otherwise, it will keep putting you low, keep dropping you, just like Pharaoh, such that even when Moses comes, you won't be helped. God can only help you to the degree in which you permit him to. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a hard thing. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So start praising God that way. Listen, there's something praising God does. It affects your soul. That's why many times you see David always talking to his soul. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within you? Hope thou in God. It shall yet be the health of your countenance. You see, as you keep praising God that way, do you know what will happen? What will happen is that your heart will shift. There will be a new, you'll start growing new sense of possibilities. Maintain that heart of gratitude. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number two. This number two has three children. Number two. Isaiah 54 verse 2. Isaiah 54 verse 2. He says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth. Say loud amen.
Amen.
Say, I will break forth. Oh, he didn't say like you mean. Say, I will break forth. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make desolate cities to be inhabited. But he says you should first what? Enlarge your tents. That means make room for the breaking forth you are expecting. In verse 1, he tells you, he says, look at it, go back. Go back, verse 1. He says, enlarge. You see, enlarge. Verse 2, look at verse 2. Verse 2. He says, enlarge the place of your tents. That means build capacity. That's number two thing you should do. Build capacity. Enlarge the place of your tent. That means increase your set points. How much can it take? Look at the Tower of Babel. These were Satan's kids. Do you see did you read the conversation of the children that were trying to imagine how to build Babel in Genesis? I'll show you that in evening. Why God's children are busy talking about, you know, gimme, 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 it's all I can get, then I will can all I get and sit on the can. It's a sad experience. I was almost in tears when I read that in Genesis, Satan's kids planning to build Tower of Babel against God's will. And what they said was so mind-blowing. They said, come, let us build a house that will touch heaven and let's make a name for ourselves. They are thinking of immortalizing themselves, doing something of eternal value that will pass them. Christians are busy talking about what to eat, you know, what I will get now. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means they are thinking beyond them. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you must enlarge your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of the habitation. He says, spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stake. He's saying the same thing. What he's saying there is build capacity. In verse 3, he now tells you the reason why you should build and enlarge your space is why? Because for thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit. That means there is an harvest coming. You need to create room for it. You need to create room for it. So let me just give you three practical steps to take to make that become a reality. Number one, elevate your passion for capacity building above excuses. Elevate your desire for capacity building above excuses. Excuses are nothing but the nails you use to make the house of failure. Can I be honest with you? Thomas Edison once said it, that success is just 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. And I believe him, because this was someone who tried to make an incandescent light and he tried for over 1,000 times and failed. And they ask him, what was the motivation for keep doing it? He says, because each time he failed, he has found a better way. He has found a way not to do it next time. What a mindset. So arrogating physical and natural tools, all right, arrogating your reason for failure to those things is just giving yourself some excuses. Success is more of depending and laying hold on what you have on the inside. In fact, let me give you an instance. Just in a very simple example, if you find somebody who can barb well, they can barber your hair well, they can give you a good haircut. Eh? Haven't you noticed that there are some persons, they can give you good haircut and they are there in somewhere like Aguan Lambu, all these trenches. Is that true? But have you been to some places where they have all the AC, everything, they press your head, do everything, give you pedicure, things you didn't ask for. And then by the time they are done, they give you, when you get to them, say, what is this that I did? Are you following what I'm saying? So that means sophistication of tools is not the proof of excellence. It is the ability to do even without the tools that shows your skillfulness. So when you start giving excuses for not, let me tell you what excuses are. When you give excuse, You are simply saying that what you are excusing, or what is causing you to excuse what you are excusing, is more important than what you are excusing for. For instance, if you say, "Why weren't you in church?" I needed to wash my clothes. What you just said is that washing your clothes was more important than coming to church. You say, "Pastor, but that's not what I mean." No. There are things you say that you did not say. So elevate your passion. Say, "Pastor, I want to grow. I want to grow to the point where I can pray 2 hours stretch." But you don't come for Friday prayer meetings. How do you grow in prayer? By wishing it. No, you grow in prayer by growing in prayer. You see, so you have to build capacity. So elevate your desire for capacity building above excuses. Number two, be prepared to leave your comfort zone. Listen, if you want to increase your set points, building capacity, you must be ready to leave your comfort zone. You can never do anything worthwhile in your comfort zone. Some of you, what you need is not multiple mentors or looking for somebody. What you need is discipline. The ones you have is enough. You have a pastor, you have minister in charge, you have HOD, you belong to a department, is enough to grow you. What you want, your problem is you want to sleep when you want to sleep, when you feel like sleeping. You want to eat when you feel like eating. You want to read the Bible when you feel like reading. How many of you are in school? You write exam when you feel like writing exams. Will you ever graduate? That's why it is already in a gazette. They have it, a curriculum. You can't do things in your convenience and expect to grow. It can't work. You must be ready to say, "You know what? I am going to be prepared to leave my comfort zone, both mentally and otherwise." You must be ready to leave your comfort zone. When I want to pray, if God is telling me, "Pray for the next 2 days, have a midnight vigil the next 2 days," I don't do it in my room. You can't say you want to pray, you want to have a midnight vigil, you are lying down and praying. The next time you will hear Sefrata is already 7 a.m. So what do you do? Get on your feet. When I was in the university, if I want to pray, if I'm to pray in my room, I will bind my bed, tie it like this, and stand praying. If I want to sleep, that means sleep and knock my head on what? See, if you stay in your comfort zone, you will not achieve what you want to achieve. So if building capacity is important to you, then be ready to leave your comfort zone. Be ready to leave your comfort zone. Let's celebrate Pastor Hayo. Let's fasten our feet and celebrate him. Welcome, sir. You can have your seat. Amen? I said amen? Amen. So number one, elevate your passion for building capacity above excuses. Be prepared to leave your comfort zone. Then lastly, increase your imagination power. Increase your imagination power. You see, just like I said, the moment the set point there does not fit into what you are expecting outwardly, whatever comes on the outside will later be shrunk to the set point. So you see, increase your imagination power. If Satan's kids in Genesis were thinking of building Tower of Babel and the motivation was that we might make a name for ourselves, then you as a Christian should not be praying on "gimme, gimme, gimme bread and butter." No, you should be talking about something that will transcend you. Amen? Enlarge your imagination. Stop thinking of bread and butter. Stop praying the prayer of Agor. "Lord, don't bless me too much so that I will not curse you. Lord, don't let me be poor so that I will not sin." Mm-mm. How about you grow? If I find a knife in the hand of a 2-year-old child in the kitchen, there's a reason for me to have a paranoia to want to go get the knife because he might hurt himself. But the problem is not the knife. If I see Udabashi in my kitchen with a knife, I will not be afraid because I know that with that knife, she will make a good meal. So was the knife the problem? No. The difference was that the baby needed to grow. So don't say, "Well, God don't give me tomorrow." It's a mindset. So what can you imagine? What can you see? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So increase your imagination power by deeply meditating on God's written and spoken word to you. I want to stop here. I fulfilled my purpose. I said I want to program you to receive more. Amen? Let me just do a recap so that you receive more as Pastor Ayo comes on board. Amen? So to receive more, you have to increase your set point. Amen? You have to increase your set point. You have to increase your set point. And I told you that was the demonic genius of Pharaoh. Subjected them to slavery from generation to generation so that a time came, even when help came, they could not recognize it. God could not help them. So God can't help you beyond the level your mind permits into. So the matter of the art is actually the art of the matter. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So you only become outwardly what God has already made you. What you allow the Spirit of God to program in your heart is a programming. So allow the Word of God to program in your heart the heart of God for you. Then manifesting it will be as easy as a walk in the park. Were you blessed? Now lift your hands and worship God. Just worship God. Just worship God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Thank Him for the word. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise for this. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. All right, without much ado, because Pastor is catching up with another engagement quickly, so we're just going to... can we just rise on our feet, everybody? Everybody, let's rise on our feet. And let's, as we welcome Pastor Ayo, amen and amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Glory to God. Where's the microphone? Praise God. All right, just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Just pray in the Spirit as you expect the word. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Just prepare your hearts to receive. Come on. Resto fraste si calabando goshte. Say, my heart is opened. My mind is receptive. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly affirm that I'm a doer. And I'm blessed indeed. Speak in tongues for a moment. Just lift your hands, everybody, and speak in tongues to receive. Just speak in tongues.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website, www.cornerstoneglobal.org, or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.